of terror, and they are spheres of terror, horrible terror. They had no money. It was a big story, and you know it. You covered it very well, actually. They had no money for terror. They were broke. Now they're a rich nation, and now what they're doing is they're spreading that money around. Look at what's happening with the Houthis and Yemen. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. This would have never happened. I will get that settled and fast, and I'll get the war with Ukraine and Russia ended. If I'm president-elect, I'll get it done before even becoming president.
Vice President Harris, he says you hate Israel.
That's absolutely not true. I have my entire career and life supported Israel and the Israeli people. He knows that. He's trying to, again, divide and distract from the reality, which is it is very well known that Donald Trump is weak and wrong on national security and foreign policy. It is well known that he admires dictators, wants to be a dictator on day one, according to himself. It is well known that he said of Putin that he can do whatever the hell he wants and go into Ukraine. It is well known that he said when Russia went into Ukraine, it was brilliant. It is well known he exchanged love letters with Kim Jong-un. And it is absolutely well known that these dictators and autocrats are rooting for you to be president again because they're so clear. They can manipulate you with flattery and favors. And that is why so many military leaders who you have worked with have told me you are a disgrace. That is why we understand that we have to have a president who is not consistently weak and wrong on national security, including the importance of upholding and respecting in highest regard our military.
Vice President Harris, thank you.
And she's the one that caused it, that's weak on national security by allowing every nation last month for the year, 168 different countries sending people into our country. Their crime rates are way down. Putin endorsed her last week, said, I hope she wins. And I think he meant it because what he's gotten away with is absolutely incredible. It wouldn't have happened with me. The leaders of other countries think that they're weak and incompetent, and they are. They're grossly incompetent. And I just ask one question. Why does Biden go in and kill the Keystone pipeline and approve the single biggest Nord Stream 2, the biggest pipeline anywhere in the world going to Germany and all over Europe? Because they're weak and they're ineffective. And Biden, by the way,
President
gets paid
Trump,
a lot of money.
Thank you. We have a lot of issues to get to.
We'll be right back with much more of this historic ABC News presidential debate from the National Constitution Center right here in Philadelphia. Back in a moment.
اتصال زموږ استاسي پیوستون خبرونه څېړنې او خبرګونونه موثق معلومات او دقیق جزئیات هغه کورنۍ نړیوالې او سیمه ییزې مسلې چې د عامو خلکو پر ژوند اغیزې لري ستاسي پوښتنې د چارواکو ځوابونه او د پوهانو سپارښتنې له یک شنبه تر پنج شنبه له واشنگتن څخه پر ژوندۍ بڼه
په افغانستان کې د روان وضعیت خبری پوښښ د پیښو له ځایونو څخه په مستقیمه بڼه
د امریکا غاک خبري اعلان مو د واشنگتن ل استودیو غان
سلامونه ستړي مشي
زه خایسته سعادت لامیم
زه احمد شکیب يم
زه ګالیا رانا نورستانه يم
زه احسان لاریب زه يم
سیمه او نړۍ په وروستي حالاتو خبروي او د تاسې مسایلو جزئیات وړاندې کوي چې د افغانانو پر ژوندانه باندې اغیز لري
په امریکا کې ټاکنې او په کانګرس کې د کورنیو او نړیوالو مسایلو په اړه د مهمو پریکړو حال
په سپین ماڼۍ کې زموږ خبريالان د امریکا د ولسمشر د غونډو سفرونو او مهمو پریکړو په اړه وروستۍ حال درکوي
د امریکا د بهرنیو چارو له وزارت څخه مو په نړیوالو چارو کې د ورستۍ پرمختګونو او د واشنگتن د دریځ په اړه خبرو.
په دفاعي چارو کې د امریکا د پریکړو او پوځي خوځښتونو په اړه لا پنټاګان نه راپورونه.
د دې درڅنګ د ژوند په امریکا کې د خبرونو لړۍ د امریکایانو د ژوند کلتوري، ټولنیز او اقتصادي اړخونه انځوروي او په امریکا کې د افغانانو د ژوند ډوړې او ژورې درخایي.
د افغانستان په ګاونډي هیوادونو، اروپا او نورې نړۍ کې د افغان کډوالو حال.
امریکا غږ د کرا او هر اړخیزو خبرونو د سرچینې په توګه تر سرلیکونو هخوا د مسایلو د ټولو اړخونو درونتیا هڅه کوي. د حکومتي چارواکو، ډیپلوماټانو او شنونکو سره د تودو بحثونو برسیره اهمو افغانانو ته د نظر څرګندولو موقع برابروي.
امریکا غاک په افغانستان کې د بیان د ازادۍ د مخخ منبع په توګه په هر اړخیزو او بې طرف رادیوي خبرونو کې له چارواکو نه پوښتنې کوي.
برېښنا تحریک،
زبیح الله غازی،
مسکا ساپای،
خدای نور ناصر، امریکا ژغ، اسلام آباد،
پېښور،
کولمبیا، میزوري،
کالیفورنیا، لس انجلس.
د امریکا غږ ټلویزیونی خبرونه پر سپوږمکۍ او ټولنیزو رسنو باندې مهیروي.
د بیان ازادي مهمه ده او امریکا ژغ ورته ژمن دی.
متضاد اړخونه، بیلابیل دریځونه، د سپیناوي تود مخامخ بحث او په اخر کې قضاوت ستاسو پر مهمو سیاسي، امنیتی، اقتصادي او ټولنیزو مسایلو د افغانستان سیمې او نړۍ باندې د ژور څېړنیز بحث مهمه او نیزه خبرونه. هایل د هرې جمعې په ورځ د افغانستان په وخت د ماخام و نیمونه تر اته بجو پورې د امریکا غږ د سټلایټ لالاري په ژوندۍ بانه. هایل د امریکا غږ د روانو چارو نوي ټلویزیونی خبرونه.
مرور هفتوار بر مهمترین رویدادها و گزارش ها از افغانستان و جهان هر جمعه شب از ساعت 7 تا 7:30 در برنامه 30 دقیقه از تلویزیون آشنا صدای امریکا. پخش زنده این برنامه را در نشرات ماهواره‌ای صدای امریکا نیز دنبال کرده می توانید.
David Muir and Lindsay Davis.
Welcome back to this historic ABC News presidential debate tonight. We're going to continue here, and I want to turn to the war in Ukraine. We're now 2.5 years into this conflict. Mr. President, it has been the position of the Biden administration that we must defend Ukraine from Russia, from Vladimir Putin, to defend their sovereignty, their democracy, that it's in America's best interest to do so, arguing that if Putin wins, he may be emboldened to move even further into other countries. You have said you would solve this war in 24 hours. You said so just before the break tonight. How exactly would you do that? And I want to ask you a very simple question tonight. Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I want the war to stop. I want to save lives that are being uselessly, people being killed by the millions. It's the millions. It's so much worse than the numbers that you're getting, which are fake numbers. Look, we're in for $250 billion or more because they don't ask Europe, which is a much bigger beneficiary to getting this thing done than we are. They're in for $150 billion less because Biden and you don't have the courage to ask Europe like I did with NATO. They paid billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars when I said, either you pay up or we're not going to protect you anymore. So that's maybe one of the reasons they don't like me as much as they like weak people. But you take a look at what's happening. We're in for $250 to $275 billion. They're into $100 to $150 billion. They should be forced to equalize. With that being said, I want to get the war settled. I know Zelensky very well, and I know Putin very well. I have a good relationship, and they respect your president, okay? They respect me. They don't respect Biden. How would you respect him? Why? For what reason? He hasn't even made a phone call in 2 years to Putin, hasn't spoken to anybody. They don't even try and get it. That is a war that's dying to be settled. I will get it settled before I even become president. If I win, when I'm president-elect, and what I'll do is I'll speak to one, I'll speak to the other, I'll get them together. That war would have never happened. And in fact, when I saw Putin after I left, unfortunately left because our country has gone to hell. But after I left, when I saw him building up soldiers, he did it after I left. I said, oh, he must be negotiating. It must be a good, strong point of negotiation. Well, it wasn't, because Biden had no idea how to talk to him. He had no idea how to stop it. And now you have millions of people dead, and it's only getting worse, and it could lead to World War III. Don't kid yourself, David. We're playing with World War III, and we have a president that we don't even know if he's... Where is our president? We don't even know if he's a president.
And just to clarify
they
here...
They threw him out of a campaign like a dog. We don't even know. Is he our president? But we have a president,
Mr. President,
that doesn't know he's alive.
Your time is up. Just to clarify in the question, do you believe it's in the U.S. best interest for Ukraine to win this war, yes or no?
I think it's the U.S. best interest to get this war finished and just get it done.
All right.
Negotiate a deal, because we have to stop all of these human lives from being destroyed.
I want to take this to Vice President Harris. I want to get your thoughts on support for Ukraine in this moment, but also as commander-in-chief, if elected, how would you deal with Vladimir Putin, and would it be any different from what we're seeing from President Biden?
Well, first of all, it's important to remind the former president, you're not running against Joe Biden, you're running against me. I believe the reason that Donald Trump says that this war would be over within 24 hours is because he would just give it up. And that's not who we are as Americans. Let's understand what happened here. I actually met with Zelensky a few days before Russia invaded, tried through force to change territorial boundaries, to defy one of the most important international rules and norms, which is the importance of sovereignty and territorial integrity. And I met with President Zelensky. I shared with him American intelligence about how he could defend himself. Days later, I went to NATO's eastern flank, to Poland and Romania. And through the work that I and others did, we brought 50 countries together to support Ukraine in its righteous defense. And because of our support, because of the air defense, the ammunition, the artillery, the javelins, the Abrams tanks that we have provided, Ukraine stands as an independent and free country. If Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now. And understand what that would mean, because Putin's agenda is not just about Ukraine. Understand why the European allies and our NATO allies are so thankful that you are no longer president, and that we understand the importance of the greatest military alliance the world has ever known, which is NATO, and what we have done to preserve the ability of Zelensky and the Ukrainians to fight for their independence. Otherwise, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch.
Vice President Harris, thank you. We've heard from both of you on Ukraine tonight. Afghanistan came up in the last hour. I wanted her to respond to something you said earlier, and I'll give you a minute here.
Putin would be sitting in Moscow, and he wouldn't have lost 300,000 men and women, but he would have been sitting in Moscow. Quiet, please. He would have been sitting in Moscow, much happier than he is right now. But eventually, you know, he's got a thing that other people don't have. He's got nuclear weapons. They don't ever talk about that. He's got nuclear weapons. Nobody ever thinks about that. And eventually, maybe he'll use them, and maybe he hasn't been that threatening, but he does have that, something we don't even like to talk about. Nobody likes to talk about it. But just so you understand, they sent her to negotiate peace before this war started. 3 days later, he went in and he started the war because everything they said was weak and stupid. They said the wrong things. That war should have never started. She was the emissary. They sent her in to negotiate with Zelensky and Putin, and she did. And the war started 3 days later. And that's the kind of talent we have with her. She's worse than Biden, in my opinion. I think he's the worst president in the history of our country. She goes down as the worst vice president in the history of our country. But let me tell you something. She is a horrible negotiator. They sent her in to negotiate. As soon as they left, Putin did the invasion.
President Trump, thank you. You did bring up something. You said she went to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. Vice President Harris, have you ever met Vladimir Putin? Can you clarify tonight?
Yet again, I said it at the beginning of this debate, you're going to hear a bunch of lies coming from this fellow. And that is another one. When I went to meet with President Zelensky, I've now met with him over five times. The reality is it has been about standing as America always should, as a leader upholding international rules and norms, as a leader who shows strength, understanding that the alliances we have around the world are dependent on our ability to look out for our friends and not favor our enemies because you adore strongmen instead of caring about democracy. And that is very much what is at stake here. The President of the United States is Commander-in-Chief. And the American people have a right to rely on a president who understands the significance of America's role and responsibility in terms of ensuring that there is stability and ensuring we stand up for our principles and not sell them for the benefit of personal flattery.
We've talked about Ukraine and Vladimir Putin. I do want to talk about Afghanistan. It came up in the first hour of this debate. I wanted to move on to Afghanistan.
Said Trump did the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He got these countries, the 28 countries at the time, to pay up. He said, I've never seen. He's the head of NATO. He said, I've never seen. For years, we were paying almost all of NATO. We were being ripped off by European nations, both on trade and on NATO. I got them to pay up by saying one of the statements you made before, if you don't pay, we're not going to protect you.
President
Otherwise,
Trump.
We would have never gotten it. He said it was one of the most incredible jobs that he's ever seen done.
Thank you. I want to turn to Afghanistan. It came up in the first hour of the debate, and we witnessed a poignant moment today on Capitol Hill honoring the soldiers who died in the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. I do want to ask the Vice President, do you believe you bear any responsibility in the way that withdrawal played out?
Well, I will tell you, I agreed with President Biden's decision to pull out of Afghanistan. Four presidents said they would, and Joe Biden did. And as a result, America's taxpayers are not paying the $300 million a day we were paying for that endless war. And as of today, there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war zone around the world, the first time this century. But let's understand how we got to where we are. Donald Trump, when he was president, negotiated one of the weakest deals you can imagine. He calls himself a deal maker. Even his national security advisor said it was a weak, terrible deal. And here's how it went down. He bypassed the Afghan government. He negotiated directly with a terrorist organization called the Taliban. The negotiation involved the Taliban getting 5,000 Taliban terrorists released. And get this. And the president at the time invited the Taliban to Camp David, a place of storied significance for us as Americans, a place where we honor the importance of American diplomacy, where we invite and receive respected world leaders. And this former president, as president, invited them to Camp David because he does not again appreciate the role and responsibility of the President of the United States to be Commander-in-Chief with a level of respect. And this gets back to the point of how he has consistently disparaged and demeaned members of our military, fallen soldiers, and the work that we must do to uphold the strength and the respect of the United States of America around the world.
Vice President Harris, thank you. President Trump, your response to her saying that you began the negotiations with the Taliban.
So if you take a look at that period of time, the Taliban was killing our soldiers, a lot of them, with snipers. And I got involved with the Taliban because the Taliban was doing the killing. That's the fighting force within Afghanistan. They don't bother doing that because, you know, they deal with the wrong people all the time. But I got involved. And Abdul is the head of the Taliban. He is still the head of the Taliban. And I told Abdul, don't do it anymore. You do it anymore, you're going to have problems. And he said, why do you send me a picture of my house? I said, you're going to have to figure that out, Abdul. And for 18 months, we had nobody killed. We did have an agreement negotiated by Mike Pompeo. It was a very good agreement. The reason it was good, it was we were getting out. We would have been out faster than them, but we wouldn't have lost the soldiers. We wouldn't have left many Americans behind, and we wouldn't have left $85 billion worth of brand new, beautiful military equipment behind. And just to finish, they blew it. The agreement said you have to do this, 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 and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. The agreement was terminated by us because they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
I want to move on.
And these people did the worst withdrawal and, in my opinion, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. And by the way, that's why Russia attacked Ukraine, because they saw how incompetent she and her boss are.
President Trump, thank you. I want to move on now to race and politics in this country. Mr. Vice President Harris, quote, I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. I want to ask a bigger picture question here tonight. Why do you believe it's appropriate to weigh in on the racial identity of your opponent?
I don't, and I don't care. I don't care what she is. I don't care. You make a big deal out of something. I couldn't care less. Whatever she wants to be is okay with me.
But those were your words, so I'm
asking. I don't know. I mean, all I can say is I read where she was not black, that she put out, and I'll say that. And then I read that she was black, and that's okay. Either one was okay with me. That's up to her.
Vice President Harris, your thoughts on this?
I think it's a tragedy that we have someone who wants to be president who has consistently, over the course of his career, attempted to use race to divide the American people. You know, I do believe that the vast majority of us know that we have so much more in common than what separates us, and we don't want this kind of approach that is just constantly trying to divide us, and especially by race. And let's remember how Donald Trump started. He was he owned buildings. And he was investigated because he refused to rent property to black families. Let's remember, this is the same individual who took out a full-page ad in the New York Times calling for the execution of 5 young black and Latino boys who were innocent, the Central Park 5, took out a full-page ad calling for their execution. This is the same individual who spread birther lies about the first black president of the United States. And I think the American people want better than that, want better than this, want someone who understands, as I do, I travel our country. We see in each other a friend. We see in each other a neighbor. We don't want a leader who is constantly trying to have Americans point their fingers at each other. I meet with people all the time who tell me, can we please just have discourse about how we're going to invest in the aspirations and the ambitions and the dreams of the American people, knowing that regardless of people's color or the language their grandmother speaks, we all have the same dreams and aspirations and want a president who invests in those, not in hate and division.
Vice President Harris, thank you. Lindsay?
President Trump, this is now your third time.
This is the most divisive presidency in the history of our country. There's never been anything like it. They're destroying our country, and they come up with things like what she just said, going back many, many years, when a lot of people, including Mayor Bloomberg, agreed with me on the Central Park Five. They admitted, they said, they pled guilty. And I said, well, if they pled guilty, they badly hurt a person, killed a person ultimately. And if they pled guilty, then they pled, we're not guilty. But this is a person that has to stretch back years, 40, 50 years ago, because there's nothing now. I built one of the greatest economies in the history of the world, and I'm going to build it again. It's going to be bigger, better, and stronger. But they're destroying our economy. They have no idea what a good economy is. Their oil policies, every single policy. And remember this, she is Biden. You know, she's trying to get away from Biden. I don't know the gentleman, she says. She is Biden. The worst inflation we've ever had, a horrible economy because inflation has made it so bad, and she can't get away with that.
Thank you. Your time is up, Lindsay.
I want to respond to that, though. I want to just respond briefly. Clearly, I am not Joe Biden, and I am certainly not Donald Trump. And what I do offer is a new generation of leadership for our country, one who believes in what is possible, one who brings a sense of optimism about what we can do instead of always disparaging the American people. I believe in what we can do to strengthen our small businesses, which is why I have a plan. Let's talk about our plans and let's compare the plans. I have a plan to give startup businesses $50,000 tax deduction to pursue their ambitions, their innovation, their ideas, their hard work. I have a plan, $6,000 for young families for the first year of your child's life to help you in that most critical stage of your child's development. I have a plan that is about allowing people to be able to pursue what has been fleeting in terms of the American dream by offering a help with down payment of $25,000 down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. That's the kind of conversation, I believe, David, that people really want tonight, as opposed to a conversation that is constantly about belittling and name-calling. Let's turn the page.
Vice President
and move
Harris,
forward.
Thank you. Let's turn to policy.
President
let's
Trump,
turn back
we
to policy.
Have to move on. President Trump.
Let's turn to policy, please.
She has a plan to defund the police. She has a plan to confiscate everybody's gun.
President Trump,
she
we
has
do
a
have
plan
to move on
to not
other
allow
issues.
Fracking in Pennsylvania or anywhere else.
Okay.
Thank That's
you,
what
President.
Her plan is until just recently.
I just need
Lindsay,
to respond.
Ahead,
because,
Trump,
no, the
President
former
Trump.
President has said
no,
something
sorry.
Twice that I need to respond
no,
to.
I'm sorry. We're going
to
move on, Vice
one
President
time
Harris.
To what he
President
has
Trump,
said
this
times.
Is now your yes. third time running for president. You have long vowed to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. You have failed to accomplish that. You now say you're going to keep Obamacare, quote, unless we can do something much better.
Correct.
Last month, you said, quote, we're working on it. So tonight, 9 years after you first started running, do you have a plan, and can you tell us what it is?
Obamacare was lousy health care, always was. It's not very good today. And what I said, that if we come up with something, and we are working on things, we're going to do it, and we're going to replace it. But remember this. I inherited Obamacare because Democrats wouldn't change it. They wouldn't vote for it. They were unanimous. They wouldn't vote to change it. If they would have done that, we would have had a much better plan than Obamacare. But the Democrats came up. They wouldn't vote for it. I had a choice to make when I was president. Do I save it and make it as good as it can be, never going to be great, or do I let it rot? And I felt I had an obligation, even though politically it would have been good, to just let it rot and let it go away. I decided, and I told my people, the top people, and they're very good people. I have a lot of good people in that administration. We read about the bad ones. We had some real bad ones, too, and so do they. They have really bad ones. The difference is they don't get rid of them. But let me just explain. I had a choice to make. Do I save it and make it as good as it can be, or do I let it rot? And I saved it. I did the right thing. But it's still never going to be great, and it's too expensive for people. And what we will do is we're looking at different plans. If we can come up with a plan that's going to cost our people, our population, less money and be better health care than Obamacare, then I would absolutely do it. But until then, I'd run it as good as it can be run.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not-too-distant future.
Vice President Harris, in 2017, you supported Bernie Sanders' proposal to do away with private insurance and create a government-run health care system. 2 years later, you proposed a plan that included a private insurance option. What is your plan today?
Well, first of all, I absolutely support, and over the last 4 years as vice president, private health care options. But what we need to do is maintain and grow the Affordable Care Act. But I'll get to that, Lindsay. I just need to respond to a previous point that the former president has made. I've made very clear my position on fracking. And then this business about taking everyone's guns away. Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff. As it relates to the Affordable Care Act, understand, just look at the history to know where people stand. When Donald Trump was president,